a few days, I believe. I mentioned last week that I would prepare a Chazar sheet on the first 10 or 11 Sifim. I remember today, middle of Shemayin Esrei. And it's a pella, I didn't remember the middle of Shemayin Esrei all week. It's like, it makes any sense. So, Mitzvah Hashem, I'll try. Believe that I'll do it for next week, including the all important Sif Yudbei. Sif, yeah, I hope to have before then, but
yes.
All important Sifim that we're learning this week. Our Sif Yudbei is a continuation of what we learned last week, this of Rebbe's Devarim. And then we will continue to Sif Yud Gimel, which is more major. Our Sif Yud Beis is a continuation. We learned the last thing last week that it's Osir, Ribbis Devarim is Osir. The Shulchan Aruch case previously in Sif Yud Aleph was that if it's someone you didn't say hello to in the past, Osir Lahagdim Lo Shalom, you're not allowed to say hello to him now. Although it only says Osir Lahagdim Lo Shalom. It seems that to answer, you're allowed.
Please.
Now, what happens if till now you didn't answer him?
Well,
no, if he didn't say hello to you, you didn't answer. And now, if he says Shalom Aleichem, are you allowed?
No,
it says, Asa Lahagdim Loi Shalom.
Not hello, how are you? If you didn't answer until now, you must be here. How are you all answering?
So now you're allowed to answer. It only says, Asa Lahagdim Loi.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, why not? It's only how white you
answer. The truth is, answering Shalom is a chiyuv mikra adin. There's a Gemara in Brachas that it's an obligation to answer. Just because till now you didn't answer doesn't mean. The Gemara says in Brachas in the first parak someplace that a person's mechuyev al pidin to answer Shalom. So it's only also lahagdim lai. So if you'd base, he adds one more prad. Okay, that's a good question. All right, it's saying thank you, which is the question people really ask, right? Are you allowed to say thank you? Someone lends you money, and you're paying them back to say thank you to someone. So the Ramesha writes, Pashtus, it's also, it's Rebbis Devarim. You're returning a thank you in addition to the words. There are those that hold, Reb Shlomo Zalman writes in his Sefer, and it's printed B'Shem Rebbe Yashiv, that thank you is totally meaningless. It's if you don't say thank you, there's a chtayna. But saying thank you is not really anything that makes anybody feel good, and they say it's mutter, although the Pashtus would seem to be that it's also, they say Rav Schwab once told the following story about a boy in Slabotka who wanted to go home for Ben Azman, and he didn't have any money. So the Alta lent him money so he can go home. So when he came back, he brought him money back, he said, thank you. So he told him, Rebbis Devarim, you shouldn't say thank you. He said, okay. So next Ben Azman, we get him to have money. So he went to the Alta, he borrowed money, and he went home. He came back with the money, he gave him the money. So the Alta of Slobodka says, no, where's the thank you? He said, wait, tell me not to say thank you. He said, yeah, but you shouldn't be able to give it back without saying thank you. You know, like, you shouldn't be able to do it. How can you do it? That's the time.
The next time
he
didn't pay back.
The Teretz Mima has an interesting pshara. The Teretz Mima says, the Torah Tamima says to say thank you for the tircha. Thank you for the tircha. Such an expression. Say thank you for the loan. Say thank you for the tircha. I said a fair amount of tircha involved in getting the money and giving it and taking it back and depositing it. So you say thank you for the tircha. So that's an interesting.
I've heard people say I would say thank you if I'm allowed to. What is that?
I would say thank you if I'm allowed to. All right, maybe, I don't know. The hot thing. Yes. What? Yeah, Shekayach is the same thing. It's a bracha.
The Gemara brings that mindset. Rabbi Yachim was Makrim Shalom to everybody. He's supposed to Makrim
that. Right. Oh, if you Makrim Shalom before, you're allowed to. Mloy ha'yorog ala'ag b'lay Shalom. If you look at the Pirkei Yosef on the top here, where it's in the page of Sif Yud Beis, the first word of the Pirkei Yosef, he says, Dafka, the Isra of Ibis Devarim, is Dafka Ba'ait Shamois B'yadai. Aval Achar Shepara Shari. We had a concept of Ribis Mulcheres. Ribis Mulcheres was Ribis, which takes place later. You already paid the loan, and then the next week you send them a gift. So Ribis Mulcheres on Mamin is also. Berkei Yosef says that on Ribis Devarim, Acha Shepara Shari. So he says that Ribis Mucheres by Ribis Devarim, he says, is mutter. And he, in the Darkei Tshuva, he brings this. He says, therefore, if you pay someone back a loan, wait till after Tekedei Dibur of your payment, and then say thank you. And then it's Ribis Mucheres and it's mutter. It's not. No, 1 second. Just, it's not so mashma that way from this Birkei Yosef. The Birkei Yosef that you can do it after Tekedei Dibur. He says that it's not mistabri. You can never say hello to him, call Yamav.
Could you come back the next day and say thank you?
Well, that's what the Birkei Yosef says. The Birkei Yosef says it's mutter. But I don't know. It seems that it's something which is later. So it's one thing to say it's not mistaver, but to actually say thank you for the loan at any time, that's not such a davar pasha, that should be mutter. To say thank you before you pay the loan, that's certainly also during the time that the loan is extended, that's the case of Ribis Devarim, and that again, Rav Shlomo Zalman and everybody else have seemed to have the shita that it's mutter. You know, finally we have something where Moshe is a machmer, Rav Shlomo Zalman and everybody else is a mekel, and say thank you. It's, but, what? You won't want to lend you money next time. Okay, if it's Asr, then it'll be Asr anyway. Say thank you for the tircha, that's all.
You come back the next week, I forgot to say, I meant to say thank
you.
Okay.
Why would your shekayach be the same thing?
Your shekayach is a bracha, it's worse, it's not better.
You're giving your shekayach, but you're doing a mitzvah. The third party can tell him your shekayach.
Yeah, third party can say anything.
No, I mean, anybody would say, you're getting aliyah, but it says your shekayach.
But to give someone a bracha because you lent your money, is that the Asr of Ribis Devarim?
Give me a shekayach for doing a mitzvah.
Money, money.
Ribis Devarim is only going to the bottom.
Yes. No, we learned that rib is kosma shemaisa biyadai, isn't this a rib? Kosma shemaisa biyadai. Yeah, I understand, but how are you going to exceed the principle here? So how are you going to take it back afterwards? It's not. Okay.
When someone takes the loan and the guy says thank you right after he received the loan, is this Ribis Devarim?
No, Ribis Devarim. In some Sfarim, they have printed in the Sefer that they thank certain people who lent their money to make the printing of the Sefer possible. So there are many tshuvas about this that say that it's Asr. You print in a Sefer, thank you to Pliny and Pliny for lending me money and making the Sefer possible. It's that's Ribis. You want to thank the Father. If they're people who loaned money, then it's Asr. Okay. If they're not, sometimes they have grants, they gave them donations. Okay. Ramesh has a tshuva about it. Ramesh writes that you can't write in a Sefer to someone, thank you for lending me money. But you could write in the Sefer, Pliny is Yisborech min HaShemayim because he lent me money. So Ramesh says you could write that because it's true. Pliny will be blessed from Shemayim because so you're just writing what's true. Pliny will be blessed from Shemayim.
Why is that different than giving
me? I don't understand that heter. I don't understand that heter. He'll be blessed from Shemayim. There's nothing to do what you're writing. The question is, you know, people pay money for an ad in the thing. So, I don't understand it. Hot Scroll doesn't take loans, only sponsors. Yeah. Okay, what?
What would the problem be?
If it's Mucheres, Mucheres. Very often the loan was not paid back yet, and you know, the person prints, he sells the Sfarim, and then he pays them back.
So what's the date? Doesn't say anything, but the wait a while?
The best date is to say thank you for the Tircha. That's the Tircha Mimah. So thank you for the Tircha. It involves a Tircha, so thank you for that. It seems to be the best date. Sif Yud Beis is another example of Ribis Devarim. It's a specific example, but we're going to have to understand what the klal is. If you lend someone money, do not tell him, notify me when this and this person arrives. That's an example in the Gemara. There are actually two pshatim in the Gemara. Pashat pshat, the way the Mechaba learns, is that you tell somebody, let me know, whatever, let me know when this person arrives, is the Gemara's example. Maybe today would be, let me know when there's a parking place available on the block, or whatever it is. That's also. Why is that also? So the Paiskim explain that the Yisr is to say something in a lushen of expectation that he'll do a favor to you. As you're telling him, do this favor for me. Why are you saying do this favor to me? That appears to be because of the loan. He's beholden to you. So now you're saying, do me a favor. Even though it's a favor which people would do anyway, which normally by Ribbis Devarim is not a problem, but to say it in a lushen of demanding, so that's also because that appears to be in exchange for a loan. The Dakar Tshuva holds that Lashon Racha, it's okay. That to say it not in a demanding Lashon, it's mutter. How to know exactly what's a Lashon Racha, what's a Lashon demanding. Not enough please is enough. The thank you is meaningless. Please may also be, but anyway. The point is that to tell somebody who you did a favor, to say to him, do me a favor, usually it's seen as, okay, you did me a favor, I'll do you a favor, even if it's not literally tit for tat, but, you know, if someone does you a favor, you want to help him too. So to say things in a lashon that would imply any type of connection, that's what the issue here is. That's even after the loan is paid up, well, the same shot, the Berkei Isis Heter, maybe would apply. If Rubis Mulcheres is mutter, if you hold the Berkei Isis Heter the way the Dakar Tshuva does, that even sometimes Nikrut for the loan is mutter by Rubis Mulcheres, then it would be mutter later. To finish the Ramah, the Chen Shai Rubis Devarim Ba'alma, Aser Vafilu L'Toivas Hanoh Ba'alma, Shemayin Shiz Bar B'Seifa Simen. We're going to get to this later. Toivas Hanoh is a difficult Shaila. It means, let's say someone lent me money, and he has a store, he has a grocery store, and he lent me money, I'm going to go purchase things in his grocery store. I'm not giving him any gift at all. I'm taking a container of milk and I'm paying him whatever a container of milk costs. I'm not giving him a penny extra. Is that Ribbis Devarim? There's a Machlekes Rishayim if that's included in Ribbis. And the Ramah here tells you to look at the end of the Siman, so it's going to take us a couple of weeks till we get there. But at least the idea that there's a Machlekes Rishayim if Tevis Hanoah is Aser by Ribbis Devarim. In the last case, also lekadesh isha v'anaras milva kagan shechayev eslay, a woman owes you money umarviach lazman kadesh tiskadesh lay, and you say that I'll extend the loan in exchange. Hari amakudesh esli in the hanar that I'm extending the time of the loan. So that's also, you'll remember that from Masechtas Kedushin. Those of you who got that far into the Masechta all the way to that for the Zion and. To Dav Zayin, so that's the case. Actually, what's Nogea to us is the Chiddush we learn from that Gemara, that Ribbis Ktsutza, is, which we always define as Ribbis, which is Kotsutza at the original time of the loan, that is Ribbis Ktsutza. Ribbis, which was established at the time the loan was extended, that's Ribbis Deraisa. It's also Ribbis Ktsutza at the time you extend the time of the loan. If a loan is due, and you say, okay, you can do it for another month, but I want interest, that's also Ribbis Deraisa. That's something we learned from the Gemara. The practical applications, as of now, I don't have any because we haven't gotten to differences between Ribbis Deraisa and Ribbis Derabanan. But Akoponim, this closes the door on Ribbis Devarim.
But because of the grocery store, some people go Dafka to this grocery store because he lent them money, because he put them on the account.
It's a very good question. And we'll get to it when we get to the last sif, okay? Today, our main focus is Sif Yud Gimel and Yud Aleph. Sif Yud Gimel is a big kula in which people don't know that this kula exists. It's an available kula. And Sif Yud Aleph is a chumra which people don't know is true and sometimes people think is mutter. So the Shulchan Aruch was kind to put the kula first and the chumra second. So we too will start with the kula. The kula in Sif Yud Gimel is something I mentioned to you. I mentioned to you when we started. I mentioned to you when we started this inyan that ribis is only aser me malva lelaiva. Money which exchanges hands, me laiva lemalva rather. When the laiva, who is the one who borrowed money, gives a gift to the malva, that's the iser ribis. So if you give on your dollar, talk about where there is a stand-in. So if you give, there's a stand-in for the laiva. Not the laiva who's giving the money, it's someone else. And so if you dial it, when there's a stand-in for the malva, the laiva is giving the money, but he's not giving it to the malva, he's giving it to someone else. Okay, that's the construct of Sifu Gimel and Sifu Dal. So Sifu Gimel is when someone else gives the money. What that means is, let's say my son wants to buy a house. He wants to take a loan. I go over to someone, I say, can you lend him money? I know he's not allowed to pay you ribbis. I'll pay the ribbis. Instead of my son paying the ribbis, I'll give you ribbis. Or maybe I'll give you give a gift to someone to entice him to lend money to your son, who's assuming your son is has his own. What?
Who's
no, my son has no secondary obligation. He's chas v'shalom, he'd never pay ribbis. I'm the one.
Are you guaranteeing him if he doesn't?
Am I guaranteeing? I'm not guaranteeing the loan. I'm not guaranteeing the loan. I'm only paying the ribbis. If I guarantee the loan, it's a problem. But I'm just paying the ribbis. I give someone a gift. I say, lend money to my son. Now. What we are going to learn, to people's great surprise, is that that's mutter, with one exception, so you can't leave the middle, but it's mutter, and it has a very practical use for Rabbanim, as I mentioned to you when we started, that when people call and they're stuck, they're in a ribbis situation, they already borrowed money from their brother-in-law, and the brother-in-law is a more modern fellow, so he lent him money, and he's not a learned person. And he said, okay, give me back ribbis. No, from Yid says ribbis. What they say is, look, I'm getting 1.5% in the bank. I'll lend you the money. You give me the 1.5%. So people somehow have this notion that if it's fair, it's okay. And since it's fair, it's okay. Of course, that's ribbis gomor. Just because you are getting money from you lending the Geiber ribbis doesn't mean that I give you ribbis. So I've had this situation numerous times where people are stuck. They're in a ribbis situation. People have borrowed money on the credit card, which MBNA credit card. Now they find out that it's hidden. What do you do now? You can write them a letter. It's ribbis. I can't pay the interest. It's not likely that they're going to be. It depends if the borrower is a corporation, not the lender. Lender being a corporation to help you. So in these situations, what Rabbanim often do is either if it's a small amount of money, pay the money personally. Somebody in another shul once came to me with an MBNA thing. He didn't know, and he was careful not to get interest, and bang, this month, he had $4.5 interest it was. So I told him, give it to me. I know how to take care of it. So he gave me the stub. So I sent in my own check to pay. I came back to him. We don't accept checks from third parties. So unless there's a bank guarantee on the check from the third party. So for a $4.5 check, I have to get a bank guarantee, right? But but a third party can pay the ribbis. It's not a problem. Sometimes it's a greater amount of money. I recently had a case with someone who was a larger amount of money. And I asked him, and you'll see the sif, how this applies. I asked him whether he had a relative that would be willing. I wasn't willing. It was a greater amount of money. It was only the four figures, but it's also, I wasn't prepared to pay the money for him. I asked him, do you have a relative that would bail you out? So he said, yeah, he has a brother-in-law that would do it. So I called the brother-in-law. I got the credit card number and I called the brother-in-law. And I gave him the number, and the brother-in-law paid the bill for him. And he paid the interest for him, rather. He paid the interest for him, and that way it solved it. Now, the question is, could he give the money back? Now, that's what we're going to learn now. He certainly can't arrange to give it back. I can't tell someone, you pay the ribbis, and I'll give you the money back. That he's your shliach. That's certainly not okay. The question is, la'achar ha'maisa, could he pay back? So we'll see. I'd rather have someone here in the shul who borrowed money from, happens to be a brother-in-law, and it's a number of years ago, and the terms are interest, and he told him, I can't give you interest. And it's a few years, the brother-in-law is not talking to him. And the fellow says, look, I'm not paying ribbons. You want to talk to me, don't talk to me. But his wife doesn't feel that way. So one of his sons came to tell me. I said, you know, if you get someone else, how much is it? He said, it's in the area of $5,000 by now. And, you know, I told him, I'm not willing to give him the $5,000, but maybe you have someone willing. One of the married kids could do it. So they made an attempt, but the angry brother-in-law by now says, nope, if he's not giving it to me, he's a crook, I'm not taking money from you, you know. So he insists on remaining. You know, it's like the fellow who comes home and his wife locked the door and left him locked out. So he's angry, sitting on the stoop, waiting for his wife to come home. So the neighbor says, why should you sit on the stoop? It's cold, it's dark. Come into my house, have a warm drink, read the paper, relax. He says, no, I don't want to do that. When my wife comes home, I'll be calm. You know, I'll sit on the stoop and be good and upset, and I'll tell her when she comes home. So his brother-in-law, you know, like he insists that, so I'm going to do. But, so this is the Sif. We are going to learn three conditions in the Shulchan Aruch and a fourth in the Taz. Mm-hmm. If you want to be Yaitza Kol HaShitas, you have to satisfy all four conditions. Although, some of the conditions, they're Chalukei Deis. But basically, you have to satisfy all four conditions. This is the way we try to do it, L'chatchila. So let's learn. Sif
Yudgim. In other words, you're saying, after the Nisayim, not the Mekabim.
Ribbis is Meloiva L'malva, and not from a third party, for the Malva, there's no Isiris.
But it's to be said, like, similar, Arav Nasa, the Echad HaLeva, Echad HaMalva, so why shouldn't be this also, even if it's not...
Yeah, it was also for the Leiva to have arranged for Ribbis in the first place. But once it's all passed, then... There's no heter in the world for a malva being a corporation. The corporation heter is only when the borrower is a corporation. It's a mistake that's very common by people. The heter, Ramesh's heter, is because there's no personal liability on the loan. That's the heter. There's no personal liability, which means the borrower is a corporation. If the lender is a corporation, help garnish. That's not going to do anything for you. If the borrower is an individual, then it's a problem. So, all right, let's get back to Sif Yud Gimel and see now the three conditions. Muta laima l'chaveirei. Helach zuz v'hilva asara dinarim l'plaini. Let's say I want my son to have a loan. So I go over to someone, I say, here, I'll give you $1,000. And you'll give a $10,000 loan to my son. V'hu, on the condition, shalayazer v'yikachenu me'alayva. The layva cannot pay back the third party. In other words, it's a triangle. There's layva, malva, and the third party. The third party gives money to the malva. The malva gives a loan to the layva. You can't complete the triangle by having the layva give the money back to the malva. If that's a complete triangle, that's a problem. That's condition number one. We'll explain that shortly. So number one is that the loiva can't pay the third party. Number two, gam lo yomer haloiva lamalva pleini yitein bishvili. The loiva can't be the one to do it. The loiva could call the rav, and the rav could be the one to do it. The loiva cannot be the one to tell the malva, lend me money, and pleini will give money for me. Because that again makes it kishlucha, it's like a shliach to pay the ribbis. Third condition, the yeshayrim shetzarach gam kein shalei yifaisenu halayva, that the layva should not talk to the third party. Right. The second condition was the layva shouldn't tell the malva, Pliny will give. The third condition is the layva should not tell the third party lasseis lamalva bishul sheilveil. So that condition 2 and 3 require that the laiva not be directly involved. Condition number 2 is he not be directly involved with the malva. And condition number 3 is that the laiva not be directly involved with the person paying the so-called ribbis. Now condition number 3 is only a yeshayimim. The shach in Sifkat Yudches, at the end of Sifkat Yudches, the first narrow line says, La'inyan halacha, it's not a ringing endorsement. He doesn't say halacha. He says, "Harei Talahakul Rishai, Kivan Shesed Rabbananu Mistaver Tamayu." So the third condition is a rishus if somebody wants to be mekel, to tell the third party to do it. But avad lechatchila, we always prefer not to. So these are the three conditions. Again, condition number one is that the laiva not give the money to the third party. Condition number two is that the laiva not tell the malva about the arrangement. And condition number three is that the laiva not tell the third party about the arrangement. And that third condition, at least, the shach says, you have right to lahak el rishai.
So what if somebody gave money to the shul with the expectation that the road would take and pay back?
If someone
gave money to the shul,
lent? Thank you very much. The shul can use the money.
Right.
Finish. Goodbye. Okay.
Now
yeah, that's fine.
The rabbi will take the money back. No, it's not discussed.
The Chavis Das says that not the way you're saying it. The Chavis Das writes that afterwards, after everything is done, the laiva can go to the third party and say, "Thank you. I appreciate what you did. I want to give you the money back." He can do that l'chatchila. It just cannot be at the time that the brother-in-law, whether it's third party, is paying. It cannot be that at that time he's doing it because the laiva is going to pay him back. Understand? It has to be that when the third party pays, he pays. And afterwards, the laiva does it. What happens if it's only implied? It's only implied. There's no eschaivus. It's implied. Somebody goes over to, he says to his brother-in-law, "You know, I have this problem. And, you know, I owe somebody this. Look at Sif Yud Gimel." He shows him Sif Yud Gimel. Or better yet, he takes the English version. And he says, you know, it says, "It's an Eitzah. It's an Eitzah. If you owe somebody," so he shows it to him. He doesn't need to obligate himself anything. He just shows it to him. So Rekiva Eger here writes on the second line, "Gam lo yoimalai, the loymer kol hanoisein einay mafsid, kosav the book of Yosef, ube harav hamagid b'shem Ramban, da oser v'chein das harashba, Rabbeinu Yeruchim v'chein lakav kosav yesh Yosef yesh matir." The Rabbi Kivega is saying that to imply that you're going to reimburse is oser. To go to your brother-in-law and say, "Look, I owe money, I'm stuck. You do it. You pay," without implying that you're going to reimburse. That's the Yeshayim. That's the third thing here. Then it writes Allah Hakul Rishai. But to imply, not bechayiv yourself, just imply. Say, "Kol ha-mishalem einam afsid. You won't regret it if you help me. You're not obligated." And that's the Rabbi Kivega says is still us.
What about my thing?
Now, that's an implied.
I have a problem.
If the Rav is going to say, "You can give money to the shul, I'm not helping you," and he gives the money, then the Rav can help him. But if it's understood, they wink at each other, so to speak. They both understand, yeah. Then no. You see, you now it takes shul money and pay someone's chayvus with it. Well, what heter is there to do that?
What? Why would the brother-in-law do it for the person?
Some of us are willing to do favors for our
as a favor.
No, as a favor. Some people are willing to do as a favor to save a person from an Issa Ribbis.
There's a famous then, it's also called Ribbis then.
Yeah, but it's not it's the brother-in-law doing it, he's not the Malva. That's why it's okay. So
it's not such a case. It happens to the kid, and he went to pay him back. He gave him that loan for $10,000. The same might happen 2 months later. He has to have much more because the same people.
Is that implied? That's a good question. I'm not sure. The question was, is it implied? If one time someone bails me out and then I go, I do the Chavis Das. Afterwards, I say, "You know, Chavis Das says I'm allowed to give you the money back. I'm giving it to you back." So then I come to him a month later, I'm stuck again. So I would have to tell him, you know, it's like, in the dining room in the yeshiva, it happened once somebody came over to me. He said, "You know, I was in the middle of eating, And then I went out, I had a phone call outside, and I came back in. I was Mishana Mokim, Echeder Lecheder. And I didn't have das in the house. You have das, dumb das to walk all over the house when you eat. But in yeshiva, people eat in the dining room. So I went out, now I come back, do I have to make a new bracha? So I tell him, you know, it's totally b'machlaikis, it's not a davar pashit. So he says, what do? I say, it's a suffix, you can't eat. Don't eat, you have to just, you finish eating and that's it. So he says, okay, fine, I'll put the food back, we finished. I say, okay, you decided? Yeah, I decided. Okay, now you can make a bracha. Because now, you know, now you're my sikh das, decided you're not eating, I thought you're not eating, so finished. It comes to me a second time. He says, I went outside, what could I do? I tell him, you know, you're Mishana Makim, it's a suffix. He says, okay, I'm not eating. I say, you're really not eating? So I have to tell him, you know, this doesn't work twice. It's the second time. The second time, you really can't do it. Finished.
The second time you had
he says, okay, you're right. The second time I can't. I say, okay, now that you have finalized it, you can do it. So that's the third time. The third time definitely doesn't work.
The second time you had that.
It's the same thing here. What are you going to do? You know, if it's implied that there'll be payment, then it's a problem. I'll tell you what I do. If it's a lot of money, when I talk to the loiva, I tell the loiva, you know, I can't tell him you're going to pay him back. But I'm a little uncomfortable with this, you know. Afterwards, the Chabazda says you could pay him back. Now, he could tell me that I'll pay him back. No problem. I'm not the one giving money out the money. I just can't relay the information. You know, so a lot of times I like to feel more comfortable that, you know, I'm not going to cause problems down the road. But I'll call him. You know, the truth is, you can even tell if you're a fourth party, if you're the Rav who's arranging it, you can even tell the brother-in-law that you pay for him. And he can't obligate himself to do it. I could even tell him he doesn't even know you're doing it. I could tell him, you know, the Chavizda says that afterwards he could pay you. Maybe it's Hashem. Afterwards, I'll go to him. Maybe he'll pay. Maybe he won't. As long as he's not the one involved in it, I could tell him whatever I want. What?
What if the guy pays the Rav in advance and don't speak to the person that he's being arranged with, but the Rav has the money ready in the hand?
That won't change anything. As long as the person paying is doing it as an outright gift.
So Rav can tell that person, okay. I'm pretty sure he'll probably pay you, but I'm
pretty sure I'll probably. You have to say pretty almost sure I'll probably pay you. You know how much almost and how much probably. Look, it can't be.
One of them don't have escrow account.
It can't be implied that. It can't be implied that it's taken care of. It could be implied that it could be taken care of. It might be. It may not be. No, wait. There's a fourth condition before we cut. I just would like to. There's a fourth condition which is in the Taz. It's a very, very significant condition. My son wants to buy a house. I go over to someone, lend him $100,000. He can't pay a ribbis, I'll pay a ribbis. The halacha is, according to the Taz, you have to listen carefully to the whole thing. According to this Taz, that's only mutter if it's a schum kotzuv. I say, you lend him $100,000, I'll give you whatever, $10,000. But if I accept an ongoing interest rate, I say, I'll pay you 10% or 5%, whatever the rate is. I'll give you 5% a year until he pays you back. Dr. Taz, that's awesome. Because if Reuven lends Shimon money, and I accept on myself to pay 5% a year until it's paid back, in effect, the loan is my burden. It's my burden because I'm going to have to pay 5% for the rest of my life unless the loan is paid. So if I accept on myself a ongoing obligation, a percentage, then that, the Taz says, is also.
But you don't have an ongoing obligation for the Karen.
Even though it's not for the Karen.
The first analysis of any Shiloh Rivers, where's the loan, where's the Malva, who's the Liza? You know,
it's true, but anybody, an Ariv, is considered to be a Liza. We're going to learn, I don't forget to,
but
it's
can
Ariv,
be
because
on the principal.
Okay, so this is considered to be liable for the principal. Because he suffers when the principal's not paid. The fact that, okay, that's enough to make him fall under the rubric of the Issa Ribbis.
If I don't have an obligation to pay the interest of the loan is there, I said, look, the first month of
the Taz's lashon is Achrayus HaKeren Olav. The responsibility for the principal is on him. And that's true, indirectly.
The life of the loan or the forever?
Forever. Oh, we can talk about that. One second. Okay, one second. So that's if he does it for the life of the loan, and that's what it says. If I guarantee dinner l'chaydesh, then that's us. Okay, there's a shach later in Simin Kufayin, where this is all gebayt from. This all comes from a sugya later. The shach has a kula. The language of the shach is not so clear, but the way the Noida Yehuda, this is a true in the Noida Yehuda, Chelek Bey, Simin Memvav, the Chayshu Mishpat, he says that this chumrah of the Taz is only if it's open-ended. If it's open-ended, I'm going to give you 5% until he pays back the loan. Obviously, at some point, if I see the person who borrowed the money is going to default, I'll be interested in making sure that the Karen gets paid back, because otherwise I'm going to have to keep on paying interest. However, if it's for Zman Kotsuf, let's say I tell him, I'll give you dinner l'chaydesh for 5 years. And in 5 years, he'll pay. He'll return the payment. It's for 5 years and that's it. Now, obviously, if I tell him, if the person doesn't pay, I'll continue paying the interest, then that's forever. But if I give his man kotzuf to it, then the shach, the way Neid Behud explains the shach, says that that's mutter. And there are many contemporary pleiskim who hold that this is a good heter. That the heter of, that's a good heter la halacha. That I can accept as long as it's for his man kotzuf. The only discussion is, what happens if I say, it's a 30-year loan. I say for 30 years. Or even it's a 5-year loan. Let's say I say it's a 5-year loan, I'll guarantee it for 5 years. He says, you know, what happens if he doesn't pay me in 5 years? So I tell him, you know what? I'm not allowed to do it open-endedly, but I'll guarantee it for 120 years. You know, I'll guarantee it for, give him a large number of years, 30 years, 40 years. So the person, you know, he's now 40 years old. You tell him to guarantee it for 40 years. Okay, if after 40 years, I'll worry about it. So, Mitzvah Hashem, I look forward to it. So then he's okay. Is that good or not? The Ar Poiskim, who are mefakfek on using this shach's heter in such a fake way, in such a false way. If it's a loan for a few years and you're going to pay the interest, that's fine. If it's a loan and you're just picking a high number that, you know, people say, okay, you know, till then Mashiach will come, so then that's not that they are mefakfek on such a heter. But assuming. Everyone assumes when Mashiach comes, we'll have enough money to pay back. But at any rate, this is Reb Schwab. I once heard from Reb Schwab, made a big reishim on me. He said he heard from a gadol echad. He said from a chashav yid that just like nowadays, there's certain words that are considered not nice. Like people when they talk about a chazer, they say a dover acher, right? Or a mitzaras, they call it a dover acher. So Mashiach will come. The word money. People will talk about like a davar acher. It'll be talked about, you know, as the the distraction. But anyway, Deval was still in this world, and before Mashiach came. So we have here four conditions. So please remember the four conditions. Again, the first condition is the loiver can't arrange to repay the third party. The second and third condition are that the loiver can't make the arrangements with the malva, and the third condition the loiver can't. Make arrangements with third party. Is there a condition that writes Rahakul Rishai, the Shach said? And then the fourth condition of the Taz, it can't be an open ended obligation of Dinah L'Chaydesh. That's a problem. These are the four conditions of Sifya Gimel. And Yitzhak Hashem, next week we'll have a Bechina on the four conditions. Then we'll get to the Chumar of Sifya Davin.
Zman Kotsav makes sense. Zman Kotsav is essentially a Sach Kotsav.
It's a Sach Kotsav. It's Sach Kotsav with a payment plan.
Right.
100 years also sakhat.
Yeah, if I would hand you the money to pay it now, would you pay it now? 100 years worth of interest.
It was just worth more than the carrot,
whatever it is, you're not going to pay that. You would pay it if you had the money. You're just going to pay it out over the long
run. Do you know if anybody discusses the fact that you and Elisha were not married?
Let's go.
It's not clear. They discuss whether Elio was a father.
Whatever you feel.
Elio.